Well, good morning all on this beautiful, it really is beautiful. It's kind of frigid out there, yes, but it is February still. And the sky is clear, the wind has died down, and the snow is sparkling. So, altogether, a pretty good looking day. And I'm going to call upon Mrs. Lear, my beloved wife, Kathy, and ask her if she would open us in prayer this morning.
Well, Holy Father, as Pastor just alluded to, it is a glorious, magnificent day as we look outside and we see your creation. We see one aspect of your creation, which sometimes is easy to lament. That's that snow on the ground. But you waste nothing. That snow serves a purpose. These cold, cold days and nights serve a purpose. Nothing is wasted, and we know that, and we appreciate that so much about you, Lord, that extends into our own lives as well. Regardless of the difficulties and the challenges we may face, nothing need be wasted. There's an opportunity to learn, and certainly, Father, to glorify you in all ways. So on this day of worship and time together that we have to delve into Scripture and feed our hearts and minds, Holy Spirit, we pray that you would be with Pastor Lear as he delivers his message today. We look forward to your teaching, to your presence. We're thankful. In your name, Jesus, amen.
Amen. And we're going to sing some songs we haven't sung for a while, and the catalog of songs in my head, so to speak, of which there are only God knows how many, certainly thousands, and that's not an exaggeration. There are some here that I have not sung for a while, but we're going to give them a try. These are the days of Elijah, declaring the word of the Lord. And these are the days of your servant Moses, righteous is being restored. And though these are the days of great trials, of famine and darkness and sword, still we are the voice in the desert crying, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Behold, he comes, riding on the clouds, shining like the sun at the trumpet call. So lift up your voice, it's the year of Jubilee, and out of Zion's hill salvation comes. These are the days of Ezekiel, the dry bones becoming as flesh. And these are the days of your servant David, rebuilding the temple of praise. These are the days of the harvest. The fields are as white in the world. And we are the laborers in your vineyard, declaring the word of the Lord. Behold, he comes, riding on the clouds, shining like the sun at the trumpet call. So lift your voice, it's the year of Jubilee, and out of Zion's hill salvation comes. There's no God like Jehovah. 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 Behold, he comes, riding on the clouds, shining like the sun. Then the trumpet call, so lift your voice. It's the year of Jubilee, and out of Zion's hill, salvation comes. Wow, what a declaration to the world, especially with all the things that are happening. But that is the word of the Lord. Let the glory of the Lord rise among us. Let the glory of the Lord rise among us. Let the praise of the King rise among us. Let it rise. Let the songs of the King rise among us. Let the songs of the King rise among us. Let the joy of the King rise among us. Let it rise. Oh, 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 let it rise. Oh, 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 let it rise. One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I will dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, to inquire in his temple, the temple of the Lord, to behold the beauty of the Lord, to inquire in his temple, the temple of the Lord. I waited for the Lord on high. I waited, and he heard my cry. I waited for the Lord on high. I waited, and he heard my cry. He pulled me from the miry clay and showed me where to walk, from fear into security, from quicksand unto the rock. I waited for the Lord on high. I waited, and he heard my cry. I waited for the Lord on high. I waited, and he heard my cry. There's a new song in my heart to sing. There's a new song, praise to my King. There's a new song in my heart to sing. There's a new song, praise to my King. Oh, I have waited for you, Lord, for the Lord on high. I waited for you, Lord, and you heard my cry. I waited for the Lord here on high. I waited, and you heard my cry. You are my hiding place. You always fill my heart with songs of deliverance. Whenever I am afraid, I will trust in you. I will trust in you. Let the weak say I am strong in the strength of my God. Let the weak say I am strong in the strength of my God. I lift my eyes up unto the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from you, Maker of heaven, Creator of the earth. Oh, how I need you, Lord. You are my only hope. You are my only prayer. So I will wait for you to come and rescue me, to come and give me life. Oh, I lifted up my eyes. I lift my eyes up unto the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from you, Maker of heaven, Creator of the earth. Oh, how I need you, Lord. You are my only hope. You are my only prayer. So I will wait for you to come and rescue me, to come and give me life. I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice. Oh, I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice. to worship you, oh my God. Rejoice, take joy, my King, in what you hear. Let it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear. Let it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear. We'll give that some thought. A sweet, sweet sound in your ear. You know how we use that euphemism? That was a sweet sound to hear. You hit the ball with a baseball bat and you heard that sweet sound, or a golf club hitting the golf ball, or the sweet sound of your beloved saying, I love you. Well, how much more does the Lord, and he doesn't need it, we need it, but he doesn't need it. I need to remind you of that, folks. He doesn't need it. We need it. It's good for us. So he does look forward to hear from us and speaking in his ear. That sweet, sweet sound that says, I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice. Now think about that, how wonderful the Lord hears that when we sing that and say that in public, in front of other people. What opportunities do you have this week? Or have you had this week, and you'll have this coming week, because today is the first day of the week. This is February the 9th, 2020. What opportunities will you have to say sweet things in your beloved's ear? And not just because this week is Valentine's Day, or not because just this week is primary day here in New Hampshire, but because this is something that you should be in a habit of doing, and not out of rote, and not because of obligation, because of love. If you're telling your wife, your children, your family, I love you. Oh, I love you. Gee, and I'm not very convinced. But if you say it this way, I love you. Well, can't you say that to the Lord? You've got good reason to love him. Well, I usually take time to report to you some of the things from Technocracy Today, because I do a lot of studying in those things. Congress moving ahead to fund Green New Deal. Congress is ignoring the executive branch's position on climate change and is racing forward to spend trillions to fund the Green New Deal proposed by AOC and Senator Ed Markey. And those two people in the House of Representatives are really, in the common vernacular, bonkers. The impact of the coronavirus goes far deeper than living or dying and threatens to disrupt the delicate global supply chain, which in turn could disrupt finances and manufacturing. I have said for years, and have said it in state houses and in Washington, it's a national security issue when we outsource our jobs to foreign countries and outsource our manufacturing to foreign countries. It's time to bring it all back. And fortunately, I believe that our present president, Donald Trump, has that in mind. And others have that in mind. So the Chinese globalists trying to control the economy of the world is a type of warfare. A lot of people don't think of it that way. House sneaks Green New Deal spending into infrastructure framework. Democrats push National Climate Bank to further Green New Deal. Coronavirus, an analysis in relationship to technocracy. Globalization faces disaster with supply chain leaving China. Global elites square up behind technocracy. Telecoms facing uphill battle on 5G rollout. Arizona State University promotes regionalism for smart city tech. 9 key testimony forecast for 2020. Erskine overnight, the 12 days of technology. I won't flesh out, if you will, all the things of those headlines there. You can do a little research on your own, and I do suggest that you do that. There are a variety of sources out there, movies that you can watch that are very good. We watched something the other night called Unconstitutional, and unfortunately it was sponsored by the American Civil Liberties Union, and I usually don't agree with them on pretty much of anything, at least certainly not on the local level, but I have to say that the documentary they did was very true from my understanding and history. So every now and then, I suppose, like a broken clock, they're right twice a day. In my quips and quotes for this week, we should be unfaithful to ourselves if we should ever lose sight of the danger to our liberties if anything partial, extraneous, should infect the purity of our free, fair, virtuous, and independent elections. John Adams, 1797, and of course, many in the news that are running are trying to get rid of the Electoral College and whatever. So, folks, primary day here in New Hampshire is Tuesday this week, the 10th of February, the 11th of February, excuse me. Get out and vote. The greatest danger is that the decision will be regulated more by the comparative strength of parties than by the real demonstrations of innocence or guilt. And that was said by Alexander Hamilton, Secretary of the Treasury, Federalist Number 65, regarding impeachment of the president. And of course, we saw that dog and pony show recently here in America, and I call it that because it was absolutely ridiculous. And waste of taxpayer money in the midst of all these things going on. Why would anyone be willing to die for freedom and not for the God of the universe, Jesus Christ? That makes no sense. It's called sophistry, the use of fallacious arguments, especially with the intention of deceiving. Trying to argue that I had benefited in any way from the disaster was pure sophistry. A fallacious argument, plural noun, sophistries. Acedia is what brought us to this point. Wikipedia says acedia is essentially a flight from the divine that leads to not even caring that one does not care. The divine is real. All else, even patriotism and constitutionalism, is a poor imitation. And of course, for all of you who know me well enough, I am a patriot, I'm also a constitutionalist, but nothing takes place in my life beyond the willingness for me to worship and the willingness for me to die for Jesus Christ and the gospel. As much as I love my country, I love Jesus more, and you should too. Am I telling you what to do? Probably. Public affairs go on pretty much as usual. Perpetual chicanery and rather more personal abuse than there used to be. John Adams, 1826. And here's a stunning one. The past is indeed another country. I forever am hearing, particularly from people of my generation, baby boomers, well, that's not the way it was in my day. Well, that's the way it is now. And facing up to the way it is now And it'd be wonderful to know how we got here, as I had conversation with somebody recently and said, hey, this didn't happen on my watch. It happened way back. Why did it happen? Who allowed it to happen? That's a subject for some speculation. But I can tell you one thing. The past is indeed another country. America, and I've said it, I remember sitting at the State House in New Hampshire years ago saying, the country I was born in is not now the country I live in. Well, I thought you said you were born here. Yes, I was born here. But the country I was born in is no longer like the country I was born in. The country I live in is no longer like that. And they said, explain yourself. I said, I was born in America. I was born in New England. I was even, I'll admit to New Hampshire folks, I was actually born in Massachusetts. You know, Boston. Grew up in Lexington and Northampton, New Hampshire. But it's not the same. And so you can understand the past is indeed another country. And so rather than lament it, let's figure out what we need to do. Either to return it to its former glory, or how about advancing it to greater glory? That maybe should be the hat I'll walk around. What's the acronym for that? Advancing it to greater glory. And of course, Jesus Christ is the way. He shall from time to time give to Congress information of the State of the Union and recommend to their consideration such measures as he shall judge necessary and expedient. And that's the U.S. Constitution, Article 2, Section 3. So the State of the Union speech is in the Constitution, is something that the POTUS, President of the United States, should do, the executive branch. The thrill of victory and the agony of defeat was the devil's brew that drove me most of my life. I've never been afraid to lose. Losing is a temporary state of mind, and if dealt with properly, it will launch you to even greater heights. And I think about being a strikeout king and also a home run hitter. Being both the same person. Men of energy of character must have enemies, because there are two sides to every question, and making one with decision and acting on it with effect, those who take the other will, of course, be hostile in proportion as they feel that effect. Thomas Jefferson, 1817, he certainly understood that, and I understand that. You cannot take a principled stand for something and not expect that somebody else is going to take an unprincipled stand or disagree with you or whatever. That's just the name of the game. The unconscious democracy of America is a very fine thing. It is a true and deep and instinctive assumption of the equality of citizens, which even voting and elections have not destroyed. G.K. Chesterton, 1928, and he was an Englishman, not an American. To cherish and stimulate the activity of the human mind by multiplying the objects of enterprise is not among the least considerable of the expedients by which the wealth of a nation may be promoted. Alexander Hamilton, 1791. Alexander Hamilton was a much greater person, in my estimation, than lots of people give him credit for. Even though he was a Federalist, I believe that he had many good things to say, and he was a Christian man, had an interesting background, and actually chose not to kill somebody else, and then himself, in the duel with Aaron Burr, ended up being killed himself, or dying from his wounds. The ultimate measure of man is not where he stands in the moments of comfort and convenience, but where he stands at the times of challenge and controversy. Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr. In 1947, U.S. Senate Chaplain Peter Marshall, and I was good friends with his son, Peter Marshall, Jr., We want to do right and to be right. So start us in the right way, for thou knowest that we are very hard to turn. And of course, Peter Marshall Sr., Senate chaplain, was born in Scotland, and he knew about hard to turn. Well, if you'll take your Bibles in hand this morning and open to the 14th chapter of the book of Proverbs, we will be there today. Chapter 14 of Proverbs. And we are going to assign two readers today, myself being one, and Lady Kathy will also be the second reader, and we will read through the whole chapter, which consists of 35 verses. I will read the first 17, and you can read the final 18, please. Proverbs chapter 14, beginning at verse 1. The wisest of women builds her house, but folly with her own hands tears it down. Whoever walks in uprightness fears the Lord, but he who is devious in his ways despises him. By the mouth of a fool comes a rod for his back, but the lips of the wise will preserve them. Where there are no oxen, the manger is clean, but abundant crops come by the strength of the ox. A faithful witness does not lie, but a false witness breathes out lies. A scoffer seeks wisdom in vain, but knowledge is easy for a man of understanding. Leave the presence of a fool, for there you do not meet words of knowledge. The wisdom of the prudent is to discern his way, but the folly of fools is deceiving. Fools mock at the guilt offering, but the upright enjoy acceptance. The heart knows its own bitterness, and no stranger shares its joy. The house of the wicked will be destroyed, but the tent of the upright will flourish. There is a way that seems right to a man, but the end is the way of death. Even in laughter, the heart may ache, and the end of joy may be grief. The backslider in heart will be filled with the fruit of his ways, and a good man will be filled with the fruit of his ways. The simple believes everything, but the prudent gives thought to his steps. Praise God for the reading of his word. That was Proverbs chapter 14 from verses 1 through 15 in the English Standard Version.
And I am continuing also reading from the English Standard Version, Proverbs chapter 14, verses 16 through the end of the chapter. One who is wise is cautious and turns away from evil, but a fool is reckless and careless. A man of quick temper acts foolishly, and a man of evil devices is hated. The simple inherit folly, but the prudent are crowned with knowledge. The evil bow down before the good, the wicked at the gates of the righteous. The poor is disliked even by his neighbor, but the rich has many friends. Whoever despises his neighbor is a sinner, but blessed is he who is generous to the poor. Do they not go astray who devise evil? Those who devise good meet steadfast love and faithfulness. In all toil there is profit, but mere talk tends only to poverty. The crown of the wise is their wealth, but the folly of fools brings folly. A truthful witness saves lives, but one who breathes out lies is deceitful. In the fear of the Lord, one has strong confidence, and his children will have a refuge. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, that one may turn away from the snares of death. In a multitude of people is the glory of a king, but without people, a prince is ruined. Whoever is slow to anger has great understanding, but he who has a hasty temper exalts folly. A tranquil heart gives life to the flesh, but envy makes the bones rot. Whoever oppresses a poor man insults his maker, but he who is generous to the needy honors him. The wicked is overthrown through his evil doing, but the righteous finds refuge in his death. Wisdom rests in the heart of a man of understanding, but it makes itself known even in the midst of fools. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. A servant who deals wisely has the king's favor, but his wrath falls on one who acts shamefully. That was Proverbs chapter 14, verses 16 through 35 from the English Standard Version.
I would like to remind you folks that this book of Scripture, Proverbs, along with Ecclesiastes and the Song of Solomon, are credited to King Solomon, who, as you may recall, the biblical account of his life, was blessed by the Lord to be the wealthiest and wisest man ever on earth. Now, at the end of his life, obviously the enemy got the better of him. But regardless of that, and that can happen to anybody if you don't pay attention and stay on track, he was led astray by foreign women. That says something. And so this chapter of Scripture, when you think about the fact, the tremendous wisdom, and I've said to people, you want to be wise, why don't you read through the book of Proverbs repeatedly? You can be comforted by reading through the book of Psalms. You can be made wise by the hand of the Lord through what we read in Proverbs. And I want to focus on verse 4, but before I get there, there are a couple of other verses. I mean, this chapter is chock full. The wisest of women builds her house, but folly with her own hands tears it down. That's quite a conundrum, isn't it? But I want to draw your attention to verse 12. There is a way that seems right to a man, but its ends is the way to death. And so all of us, because of the sin nature, are subject to mistakes, sins, and ways that we think are right. And that's why we should check, and double check with the Lord, with wise counsel. For years, of course, one of the handles, if you will, of the Patriot Pastor is, if you're seeking wise counsel, come to me. Now, that isn't a statement of arrogance. I just know where to find that wise counsel in the Lord to direct people to, and I've accumulated some of it myself. Also, in verse 14, a good man will be filled with the fruits of his ways. Now, you'll have to think about that, what that means to you, filled with the fruits of his ways. I like to think of it as, okay, you go to the grocery store, you can afford to buy the finest of fruits, and you can eat them, and you're going to be filled with the finest of fruits, which probably means you'll be filled with some healthy stuff. And in the verse following that, the simple believes everything, but the prudent gives thought to his steps. And we know there's also other scripture that tells us that the steps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord. So the prudent man. And I want to be known as a prudent person. A prudent man gives thought to his steps. What are you doing? And there are a couple of themes here we want to work off of today. Is what is the point? What you're doing? What is the point of why you're doing it? What is the point of doing what you're doing? And a subtext, if you will, is trust but verify. People are very gullible. I know I have been taken in by some pretty good scams in my life, which taught me how to trust and to verify. And of course, from a scriptural standpoint, we're exhorted here, but the prudent gives thought to his steps. I also want to direct your attention to verse number 23. In all toil there is profit, but mere talk tends only to poverty. We get a lot of talk going on, and so I'd like to have an agenda. Go to a meeting, I want the agenda. What is the point of this meeting? And then the assertions that are made in that meeting, I want to trust, but I want to verify. I'm a very trusting person. I have been all of my life. But my dear dad taught me that not all people can be trusted. And he really understood that. So he taught me that very young in life. And it really took a while for it to become part of me. Verse 27, the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, that one may turn away from the snares of death. A fountain of life. Jesus is the fountain of life. He's the living water. And then I have quoted this many, many times before state houses, before governors, before senators, presidential candidates. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Righteousness exalts a nation, verse 34. But sin is a reproach to any people. Well, as I said, I'm mainly going to focus for the moment on verse 4. And I'm going to read it to you from a variety of different translations. In the New Living Translation, without oxen, the stable stays clean, but you need a strong ox for a large harvest. King James says, where no oxen are, the crib is clean, but much increase is by the strength of the ox. Darby Bible Translation, where no oxen are, the crib is clean, but much increase is by the strength of an ox. World English Bible, where no oxen are, the crib is clean, but much increase is by the strength of the ox. And Young's literal translation, without oxen, a stall is clean, and great is the increase by the power of the ox. Now think about this. A crib or a stable is built to house animals. Now, not many of us in America anymore probably used to oxen, but in the history of the world, oxen were used actually many times. Mules were used to pull wagon trains, but also oxen were too, because many of the people found that the oxen were very strong. They were able to eat roughage maybe better than a mule or a horse could, and they could be used once they got to where they were going to pull a plow and do a good job plowing. And of course, there is reference in the Bible in Matthew chapter 11, the final chapters there, about being in the yoke of the oxen. So the Bible is replete with references to oxen. Of course, oxes were offered up as sacrifice, and basically an ox is a very big and strong cow, if you want to call it that, if you've never seen one. And of course they can provide meat. Ox hide is very strong hide, even stronger than cow hide. And of course the horns would be used for powder horns or weapons or a variety of different things. They made oxtail soup. So the ox from stem to stern was usable. And of course the Lord uses these metaphors and these comparisons for us to learn from. So you would build a stable, you'd build a crib, you'd build a corral, so to speak, enclosed so those oxen could get in out of the weather, and so you could put their feed in there for them. But of course, whenever they're eating, it's going in the front, being processed through their digestive system, and then coming out the end. And then, of course, what comes out the end becomes fertilizer and so forth and so on. But the point of the scripture is, and we're looking at the point, what is the point? What is the point of what you're doing? What is the point of building a crib if you're not going to put anybody in it? You're not going to put any oxen in it or anything in the, there's no sense of building a crib and spending the time and money on that if you're going to keep it clean. And if it's used, it will get dirty. For all those people who say, I'm not going to go out and vote, it's a waste of my time. Oh, really? Oh, I'm not going to go out and vote because my vote doesn't count. Or I'm not going to vote because I really don't like who's running. All those things could be compared, in my thinking anyway, to being a crib that's staying empty because you don't want to clean up the crib after the oxen. You need the oxen. We're told you want to take your wife or your son, and there have been places and people who couldn't afford a mule, couldn't afford a horse, couldn't afford an ox or oxen, and they actually harness themselves. I've seen it done. They put themselves in the harness and dragged a plow behind them. You want to do that? I doubt it. It would be a last-ditch effort. So the point is, the Lord has said to us, yes, the oxen will make the stable, the crib, dirty, but you'll clean that up. And so that's what I always say, too, in terms of voting. Instead of complaining and staying home because you're not going to do your civic duty, your duty before God and country, why don't you clean it up? Why don't you clean the mess up in some way? And so asking the question, what is the point? And testing, but verifying, is a very wise thing to do. And we Christians have access to the great wisdom. Now, obviously, there are some wise people in the world that aren't Christians. And this book of Scripture actually exists in the Old Testament. So we'll say Jews also can get that wisdom, even as Jesus, Yeshua, was Jewish. Solomon was Jewish. So they had access to this great wisdom. Many of them have followed it, and many haven't. Well, we as Christians, being grafted in, so to speak, we have access to this wisdom also, but you got to read the book. You got to open it up. You got to read these things, and then not only do you read them, you do not, as we mentioned in our comments about sophistry and asceticism, you don't do that. You actually employ these wise things in your life. And you speak of them. You teach your children that. Now, granted, I realize you can teach people and maybe they're not going to do it. But that doesn't, you can't throw your hands up and say, well, they're not going to do it anyway, so I won't bother. The point is, you've been asked to do it. The Lord has asked you to do it. And so you're glad to do it. And the great benefits that come are expressed. And isn't it wonderful how the Bible speaks to the benefit? It speaks to the liability, but it also speaks to the benefit. The backslider in his heart will be filled with the fruits of his ways. And so we can tell. You can tell who a backslider is by the fruit of his ways. And you can also say a good man will be filled with the fruits of his ways. And as I said, I want you to give careful thought and consideration and prayer and ask the Holy Spirit, as we are asking now, Holy Spirit, reveal to us what this actually means and how we can implement it, what the point is. And teach us how to be trusting but to verify. And as I've often said, an honest person does not mind being verified. I do this, obviously, on the internet. All kind of things fly by. And we find many of this stuff is malicious, malware and all this kind of thing like that, frauds. Scam busters every week that I read has frauds out there, and there are many people, particularly the elderly, that are taken advantage of because they're tired and they have illness and whatever else, so they don't, they want to believe a good thing. And maybe we come from a generation, as I said, it's a country we no longer live in, but the country we used to live in, where a handshake, you could do something on a handshake. Now people don't even keep their contracts. They find ways of breaking contracts. So what is the point? And of course, trust and verify. An honest man does not mind having his work examined and be verified. Or an honest woman. I mean, honest people. And so, when you're thinking about this week, and I exhort you to do that, read through this again. The simple believes everything, but the prudent gives thought to his steps. I hope it can be said of me, here is a prudent man. A prudent man is not a prude. I know that's become a derogatory statement. Oh, that guy's a prude. That woman's a prude. But actually, it once meant, when somebody was named Prudence, that was a good name. And the Puritan value names, that's where they got them from. Prudence or prudent was good. A prude was not somebody you would dislike or somebody you would like. A prude was somebody who probably you weren't going to be able to take advantage of. And maybe that's why some people don't like prudes or prudence, because they can't take advantage of a prudent person or prudence. In all toil there is profit, but mere talk tends only to poverty. We need to get that across. It's a biblical truth. This talk about the inequities and wealth in America. Well, where did some of these people get wealthy? I mean, if you see that many of the very wealthy people are trying to take the wealth away from who? Not from themselves. There are candidates right out there, all the candidates standing up, pretty much all of them on the stage for the Democrats, minus a couple of them, are very wealthy people. How'd they get that way? And they didn't do it through prudence, I think, because they're not acting very prudently now. But that's a whole other subject for another time. So once again, I exhort you here, what is the point of what you're doing? You need to be asking yourself, the time is limited. It's a limited commodity. What is the point? And whatever that you're dealing with, whoever you're dealing with, whatever the situation is, trust but verify. That's one of the reasons why in a court of law, which sometimes is not very lawful, but supposedly in a court of law, they have to be called reliable witnesses, trustworthy. Otherwise, the testimony be false, and there are some people, they lie through their teeth, just like the scriptures say. So I won't say more. But I want to lift up some neighbors in my neighborhood where I live. I've known them for 15 years, and they're going through some real health struggles and a variety of things, and I want to lift them up. I'm not going to mention them by name, the Lord knows, but we're going to lift up others too. They're going through severe health problems and difficulties, and they've trusted in a lot of things they shouldn't have and whatever else. So this message is for a lot of people. Let's pray. We lift our hearts up and our hands up to you, O Lord God. The God of America is not Buddha or Muhammad. We mean no harm to any of those people that might believe those things, but the truth is the truth, and we know what it is. And we lift up people that are suffering with medical problems, mental health issues, all kind of things. There are many issues out there, and they seem to be accelerating. We don't know why, but it's obviously not the America we once lived in. We live in a different country now, but you're still the same God. You haven't changed at all. You didn't need to. We do, but you didn't. And we can come to you at your throne of grace and implore you, cry out to you, as you say, cry out to me, and whisper in your ear, Lord, I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to you. And we thank you, we praise you, Jesus. Yes, you, by the many names you're known as Yeshua, God is salvation. Thank you, Lord. Amen.